Jesus House, in pursuit of God, discovering purpose, maximizing potential, impacting lives. This message is being brought to you from Jesus House, London. God bless you.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the privilege of worship. We thank you for access. We thank you for the act of love, that we could worship and love on a mighty and faithful God. Thank you that there are no limitations. There is no condemnation. There's no rejection. Your worship is anchored and centered on love. And we thank you that the doors always open. So this morning, the doors of our hearts are open once again to hear what you have to say. Our spiritual ears are open to hear. Our minds are ready to respond. And we look forward to the transformation as we become more like you. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Thank you so much, everyone. Good morning. This morning, I would just like to bring, I guess, some form of encouragement and a bit of information that can help us, in a sense, recalibrate how we present our worship and just bring some understanding that can help us. So I'd like to set a bit of premise. Today, I'm going to be sharing on the foundation of worship, which is relationship. But just before I go into that, I want to first of all say that a lot of people have the assumption that worship is what the worship team just did. We sang. It's when you play your favorite song at home. And I just want to say that, unfortunately, that is not worship. That is an expression of worship. Singing is one expression of worship, but it's not worship in its entirety. Because if singing were worship, then the most of us that don't have singing voices have never worshipped, and I'm sure you know that's not possible. So this morning, it was just to let us know that there's a biblical definition that God gives us about worship. Like I said, I'm just going to set a quick premise and then go into the main thing that I want to share this morning. There's this scripture in John chapter 4 from verse 19 to 24. It's a scripture we always quote. Now is the time that the Lord is seeking true worshipers. But I'm looking at the Message version and it says, oh, this is from John 4, 19 to 24. Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this. Our ancestors worshiped God at this mountain. But you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right? Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father, neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming. It has in fact come when what you are called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that counts before God. And I love this because for me, the pandemic made this so real for me. It didn't care, it didn't matter whether you were pastor somebody or bishop somebody, the pandemic literally leveled the ground. It didn't matter, the pandemic didn't look at the fact that you were in T.D. Jakes' church or you went to Jesus' house, it just leveled the ground. Through the pandemic, all we had was whatever relationship you had built with God. That was all you had. And for me, this scripture really came alive at that time. And sadly, we saw people who at that time really struggled because all they depended on was their Sunday service, was the prayer meetings, was the corporate worship. And at that time, what really mattered was actually personal worship, which a number of people had not really spent time building. And so I want to say that when the Bible says in there that he's seeking true worshipers, he uses the word worshipers as a noun to define a kind of people that he's looking for. And then he uses the verb worship to describe the action that these worshipers carry out that makes them fall in this category of worshipers. So he says, I am looking for worshipers, the identifier, who worship me in spirit and in truth, the action of the spirit and in truth. So worship is both a noun and a verb. It's an identifier as well as it's a doing word. So it's not just the fact that we say that we worship. It's something that we actually do that classifies us as worshipers. And so he goes ahead to help us define what he is referring to as worship. Now, this is God. And he does that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read three translations very quickly, just to set a bit of context. The Message translation says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping. Who thought sleeping was worship? You're eating. You're going to work and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. The Amplified Version says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. The TPT Version says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Your worship is your response to God. To surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Not once has it made reference to singing, because God is not lacking in singers. Worship goes on 24/7 in heaven. And we can't even begin to scratch the surface of the kind of sound that is being produced in heaven. So he's not lacking in singers, but he says he's lacking in worshipers. He's lacking in people. He's looking for people who intelligently and rationally, logically sit down and weigh the situation and make a decision that I want to live for you, and I want to live in the way that you have described that I should live. So I wanted to lay that premise for us in worship. But now let's go into the bit that I want to hone on. Verse 22 of that scripture says, you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes from the Jews. A lot of time when we are talking about worship and we're working on our relationship with God, we lay every emphasis on just us and God. But I want today I want to talk about the other aspect of your worship that is not just God. It's about your relationship with yourself and your relationship with other people. In your worship of God, it's about yourself, others, and as well God himself. Because you have to understand that when the Bible talks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling, is the fact that on the day-to-day basis, everything that you have learned or you're becoming, you literally are working it out in every context of your life. You know, if you pray for patience, if you have an issue with anger and you say, God, I want patience, you pray about it. It's not like you sleep and then something zaps anger out of you. No. You know what happens? God allows you to be presented with situations that gives you an opportunity to work out patience. And that's what he means by working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so others play an amazing part in our lives, which we don't pay attention to. We focus so much, it's about me and God indeed, but it is through your relationships with others that your worship lifestyle is worked out and exemplified. You know, it says that while we Jews know all about him, to know someone is to have developed a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them, to be familiar or friendly with. And so I want to say that when we talk about worship being the foundation, relationship being the foundation of worship, is for us to understand that a relationship means how we behave towards each other, how we regard each other. You know, the importance to which I give to a person would usually reflect in how I respond or how I relate, how much of my time I give to them, regardless of whatever it is that they are after. And so, I want to say to us that when God created man, man was created in an existing relationship. So it was always God's intention that as human beings, we will always be in relationship. So we see in Genesis 1:26, it says, let us. Us we know is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You and I were created in an existing relationship, and that becomes a fundamental part of our worship. It was God's intention that we will always be in relationship, not just with Him, the Godhead, but with each other. Now, I want to talk about you in the relationship, you and I. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs 13, chapter 12. It says, not getting what you want can break your heart, but the wish that comes true is a life-giving tree. Another version says that, you know, a hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I found that part of the reason why our relationships are not wholesome is because our hearts are sick from disappointments, from hurts, from rejections, just life happening to us. And where we haven't dealt with those things, we literally translate that in our relationships in one form or the other. And so I want to say to us this afternoon that it is so important in our relationship with God to be able to worship Him in the way that pleases Him, that we need to be conscious about working on the internal temperature of ourselves, doing soul searching, allowing God to do that work in you. Because without realizing, when you haven't let Him do that, it then begins to impact your worship expression to Him, but through your relationship with other people. Now, we know that the Bible says that above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. You know, every decision that you make, whether it's a decision on being kind or not being kind, has gone through a process, which I don't have time to go into today, has gone through a process that then impacts your action. And that's why the Bible tells us that you've got to guard your heart, because everything you're doing is coming through that process. Your emotion, your mind, and your will are all informing what you eventually act out. Luke chapter 6:45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, what is interesting about the impact that others have in our worship of God, and it's the one bit that I think that we've become a little bit careless in, is this bit about others in our worship of God. There's a need for us to remember that everybody and everything was created by God for His glory. Whether you like the person or you don't, one of the things I love is that God did not ask for anybody's opinion. He just decided, I'm going to create Pastor Bola. He didn't ask Ariola, what do you think of Pastor Bola? He's just like, I'm making her for my glory and my pleasure. So in as much as sometimes we may hurt each other and we may not be happy with each other, you cannot forget that this person is carrying Christ in them. And so in your dealings with them, you cannot forget that even though you are speaking to Pastor Bola, you are also speaking to the Christ in Pastor Bola, regardless of who this person is. And so it's interesting because in John chapter 14:23, and this is the NASB version, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode with him. Did you get that? It's funny how we are saying that we're chasing after God, but he actually says, if you say you love me and you keep my word, actually, I will come to you. So a lot of us are spending time and we're chasing after him, and of course we must chase. But actually there's a place where he comes to you because your life begins to attract him. Because he starts to see that this person loves me to the point that they're keeping my word. My Father and I will come and dwell with this person. And so in 1 John 4:21, he says, and this is the commandment we have for him, that the one who loves God should also unselfishly love his brother and seek the best for him. I love this scripture in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as a prisoner, take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And he neared Damascus, and as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." I want to say to us that you know that Jesus was not actually present. It wasn't like Jesus was present and Saul was being nasty to him. He was being nasty to the people of God, and God was saying that it is me that you are hurting. It is me that you are hurting. A lot of times we do things to each other and we treat each other and we forget that you are hurting Jesus. You're hurting the Jesus in the person. I'm saying this because we take for granted how this is a key part of our worship of our God. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift." We have come to the place where we justify our actions, where we are not nice to each other. The Bible says, "Whatsoever you do to the least of these, you have done unto me." The Bible tells us to love one another. And this is an aspect of our worship that I believe that we have forgotten to pay attention to. You know, loving one another doesn't necessarily mean that, yeah, I'm happy about what the person did. It's about doing what you know that Christ would expect you to do. Loving one another is not necessarily that it's convenient. It's actually inconvenient, but what is the right thing to do? Yesterday at the conference, I was sharing an experience I had when I started this whole God teaching me about true worship. I had gone to Tesco, and it was a rainy day, and there was a mothers and babies parking spot that was free. You know, they're usually close to the entrance. I had a car seat, but no baby. But in my head, I'm like, I fall in this category. So I parked, and I did have a baby. The baby just wasn't in the car. And I parked in this space. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "Do you have a baby in the car?" I said, "No, but I have the car seat to show that I'm really a mom and I have." And God said, "Ariella, that's not how it works. If you park here, you're going to deprive someone who actually has a baby and actually needs it. So know right now, you do not need to have this space." You know, doing what is right is not convenient. At that point in time, there was nobody watching the car park, but I knew God was watching. And that has to be enough. It has to be enough that you know that God is watching you. It's not about when someone is watching and you want to look good. And you know what's funny? It doesn't matter here, but it matters in heaven. We've got to be so God conscious and realize that everything, He says your everyday life, you're going to work. It's what you're doing at work, how you're treating your work, how you're treating people that maybe submit to you and work for you. It's how you're treating your children. It's how you are as a husband. It's how you are as a wife. It's everything. It's everything. And we must come back to the place where we understand worship is not singing. It's one expression of worship. We express worship through songs. The ushers that are sitting us are expressing worship. Multimedia is expressing worship. The marshals are expressing worship. And that's why when you come in here, you can't take for granted what everybody is doing. It is just as important. Everything is worship. That's why it's called corporate worship. We come together as one body. Each part, a piece of the big picture. And so today, as we come to the end of this word, I wondered whether you would be honest with yourself and take an internal temperature. It's not okay for you to say the words. You need to be the word. You need to be the word because somebody is taking stock. And we forget that we have to give account. Do you ever wonder why Jesus said some people will say, Lord, Lord, and I will say, I don't know them? Because it's possible for you to think you're worshiping God, but you're doing your own thing. Because what he really said was worship for him, you did not pay attention to. So I wondered for a few minutes, could I just ask each person, you know where you're at with God? And I started by saying, the worship of God is so rooted in love. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, his hands are constantly open. Whether it's been how you treated people, whether it's how you treat yourself, not loving yourself is not okay. You were wonderfully and fearfully made. He took time. You not loving yourself is telling him he hasn't done a good job. Did you realize? Yeah. If you say, Lord, I don't like myself, then you've told him that he hasn't done a good job. So for this few minutes, could you just take that internal temperature? In the entirety of your worship expression, how have you been worshiping him? And let's ask for mercy. Let's ask for grace. I want to say that the people that you might think are difficult to love, they are there to help you learn how to love, even in the difficult times. I used to say to God that, why didn't you send Judas away? You knew he was the devil. And the Holy Spirit said to me, no, because he was part of my destiny. Oh my God. He had to fulfill his own part, that scripture might be fulfilled. And I thought to myself, if I knew that one of my team members was the devil, I would have sat the person since that, please don't bring any problem here. But Jesus didn't do that. Even the devil is carrying out his own calling to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Why are you beefing him? Yes, he's playing his part. And we're so quick to cast away because we're not happy. Somebody's not like this and they're not like that. They are there to help you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You learn to love regardless. You learn to love regardless. And perhaps you're here, you don't even know who this Jesus is, you don't know what I'm talking about, and that's okay. And I just ask that if you're in here, you haven't given your life to Christ, you don't know who he is, this is your moment. This is your moment to say, actually, I want to know you. I want to serve you. I want to worship you. And so if you're that person who this is your first time of giving your life to Christ, I just pray that the Lord God Almighty will meet you where you are. I ask that the Lord will introduce himself to you through his Spirit. I pray that the Lord will indeed draw you close as you make that decision today to know him and come into a relationship with him. And I pray that the journey of learning true worship will indeed be a gift that you receive today as you allow him to take your hands and lead you. And for those of us who we know him, life has just happened and we've just done things that please us. Father, we ask that you would help us. The Bible says that all of us have fallen short of his glory, but we thank you because we know that he's a God of the first, the second, the third, and the I don't know how many thousand and million times. So we thank you for the opportunity to recalibrate this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to reset. And I just want to say, I just feel to say this to somebody that, you know, there is blessing. There is blessing in actually making that choice to live the way that he says. Inasmuch as it might seem like it's much, there is so much blessing. There's a privilege. He says, I will come to you. Even before you ask, he's already with you. Such a privilege that the Almighty God will make the choice to come and be with you just because he wants to encourage your choice and your decision It is such a privilege and an honor. And so, Father, this morning we thank you and we bless you. We're grateful for access. We're grateful for mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for your plans and your purposes, for your ways that are not our ways. We say thank you. We thank you for wisdom this morning. We thank you for wisdom, your wisdom, Father, Lord God, that sets us on the right path. Thank you for the gift of your word. He said that he honors his word above his name. We thank you for honoring your word this morning. And we thank you for our hearts that have been restored. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we have prayed. Amen.